I want us this morning to have two separate readings, but from the same portion of Scripture. And will you turn with me then to the Old Testament and to the book of Daniel and chapter 5. It is a long chapter. It covers the experience of Belshazzar and his feast. And rather than reading it in one setting, I want to break it up and read verses 1 through 16 first of all at this point. So we're going to read Daniel chapter 5 and verses 1 through 16. Belshazzar the king made a great feast of 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king, his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that his joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And the days of thy father light and understanding and wisdom like unto the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar. Now, let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, who art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." And there we'll pause for a moment. Let's continue our worship then as we sing from Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and we're singing the second version of that psalm. And at verse 9 through to verse 15, four stanzas. "Good unto all men is the Lord. O'er all his works his mercy is. Thy works all praise to thee afford. Thy saints, O Lord, thy name shall bless. The glory of thy kingdom show, shall they, and of thy power tell. that so men's sons his deeds may know, his kingdom's grace that doth excel. Thy kingdom hath none end at all, it doth through ages all remain. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, that cast down raiseth up again. The eyes of all things, Lord, attend, and on thee wait that here do live. And thou in cease and due dost send sufficient food them to relieve. Psalm 145, the second verse, and 9 through 15 of that verse, and good unto all men is the Lord. We come back then to continue a reading in the book of Daniel, and we're going to take up at verse 17 to the end of that chapter. Daniel has been summoned, and now he speaks. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing up to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would slew, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and who are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was a part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou wert weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us all understanding in that reading of his own holy word. We continue our worship singing, this time from the words of Psalm 32 and the first four stanzas of that psalm. Psalm 32. O blessed is the man to whom is freely pardoned all the transgressions he hath done, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not his sin, in whose spirit there is no guile nor fraud is found therein. When as I did refrain my speech and silent was my tongue, my bones then waxed old because I rode all day long. For upon me both day and night thine hand did heavy lie, so that my moisture turned is in summer's drought thereby. We've just read of the extremity of God's dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, and here we have a record of God's dealing with David on a similar scale. Psalm 32. Oh, blessed is the man. I want us this morning, as we're enabled, to think of and consider the experience of Belshazzar as it is given to us there in chapter 5 of this book of Daniel. People today, we see it more and more, the way in which people are quite prepared to flout what God is saying. They're quite prepared to challenge the standards and norms that God has set. Today we can say quite clearly that people, increasingly so, are prepared to take God on. They're prepared to do what they want, and there is no fear nor concern over what God's reaction and response might be to what they're doing. They keep on, we say it again, you keep on pushing the line. You keep on pushing the limits. People are shoving and pushing the standards, the norms. We have, what is it, the new normal about sexuality and marriage and all of these things. Simply society pushing. Until that is, a line is reached. A line is crossed. And the day of privilege and the day of patience is past. And the day of reckoning begins. A day is reached when God says, enough is enough. And that's the lesson we have in the experience of Belshazzar here this morning. But let's not think of it just simply limiting to Belshazzar on his own. Jeremiah has very similar words that apply to every one of us. When you think of the privileges we've all had, Jeremiah says this, I have spoken to you, rising early, speaking, but you have not listened. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and a perpetual desolation. I will take from you the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle, and the whole land shall be a desolation. Jeremiah chapter 25. There is every one of us brought underneath the teaching of Scripture. Enough is enough. People are not lost because they're great sinners. God is able to save the greatest. They're not lost because of the number or the frequency of the sin that we commit. People perish because through the whole of their life, they refuse to take seriously what God is saying. They refuse to embrace the responsibility God has given to every one of us. They refuse to listen to what God is saying about our souls and our destiny. And instead, they walk their own way. They stifle their conscience and they shut down the warnings until God has no more to say to them, to us. He is silent. But it doesn't mean he's not acting. He is silent. And he seems to be off the stage of time for a moment. But not for long. As Belshazzar learned from their story this morning. So I want us to think of this experience and see the applications that come home to ourselves from it. The first thing I want us to look at is the man himself that's at the center of this. I want us to think of Belshazzar, but I want us to think particularly of the sacrilege that we have here set before us in this chapter. Nebuchadnezzar was the great king of Babylon. He was indeed a wicked man, but God intervened in his history and in his experience, and God humbled him, as Daniel tells us a story here about the way in which his heart was lifted up. And God drove him out and humbled him in a most extreme of ways. And God taught him, and Nebuchadnezzar learned to trust in God. He came, he died, the kingdom passed down to his son who was king. But that son was away fighting the Assyrians, and it was down to Belshazzar, the king's grandson, to rule in his place. He wasn't responsible like a king was, but yet he enjoyed all the perks. And that was a recipe for indulgence, and that was a recipe for disaster. You remember what we were saying last week about Felix, a man that Paul preached to and says, you need temperance, you need to control yourself. Felix wasn't. Neither was Belshazzar. He ruled the nation, but he couldn't rule himself and his own interests. One of the hardest things to do, the comparison that's given to us in the book of Proverbs, a man who keeps his heart is mightier than somebody who takes and captures a city. That's what's required of Felix, of Belshazzar, of ourselves. So what was the history of this man, particularly as it bears upon what happens here? Simply this. Daniel and Belshazzar were almost the same age. They were close in years at least. And they grew up and they saw the same things. Belshazzar was there when Daniel arrived, just a young lad with others with him, and came in as one of the exiles from Judah. He saw this man, this young lad, with all the others, who had a different outlook on life. 14, 15 years of age, and yet they were speaking about trusting in this God called Jehovah. And there was a reality about their life and their living that they didn't give in to the pressures round about from Babylon. They wanted life done their way, and they were prepared to speak out and to stand up and ask for it. And when they did it, it happened just like they said. Then there was a great experience of the fiery furnace, because they stood up for God and wouldn't part from God. And they were prepared to be put into the furnace because they wouldn't worship in the way that the Babylonians worshipped. They went into the furnace and they came out of the furnace. These were the kind of vivid lessons that were bearing down and molding the life of Belshazzar. Closer to home. He saw, because he lived in the same house, he lived and he saw what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather. He saw the things that happened there, the way in which he was humbled and God broke into this man's life and brought him down because he was so arrogant. Oh yes, there were vivid spiritual impact and lessons upon this man's life. See what he says, Daniel says in verse 22. You, his son, Belshazzar, you have not handled your heart, though you knew all of this. He knew it all. That's this man, Belshazzar. He removed all the kind of restraint from within himself. He wouldn't have any of the spiritual lessons molding him, restricting him in what he did. He made sure that when he came to rule, he pushed Daniel out of the way. Daniel had been given a place of central guidance over the spiritual lives and wisdom of the nation. But when Belshazzar came, he was put to the side. That comes out in verse 13. Look at the way he speaks of him. Art thou that Daniel? Are you Daniel? Verse 16, I've heard these things about you. You get the impression that there's distance between them now. Because Belshazzar did not want any restriction whatsoever on the way he lived and what he did. So this is the man who threw a party for 1,000, who drank to excess. And as drink gets a hold, so all kind of restraint and propriety is lost. He gets bolder and bolder and bolder in what he says and what he does, until eventually it gets hold of him. And he says, let's go for the temple vessels. These cups and these jugs and these containers that were used in the worship of Jehovah God that my father brought back, let's use them. They were set aside for a holy use. But he was drunk, and with drunk he treated everything with contempt. But it wasn't just that. He made it worse still. What did he do? He used these very cups and he worshipped his own idols and his own gods. They drank wine and praised, in verse 4 I'm reading, and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, wood, and of stone. Open and blatant defiance of God. Open and blatant defiance, prepared to take God on. Utter contempt of the living and the true God. The sacrilege of Belshazzar. Don't ever be taken in by all the glitz and the glamour and the push and the presentation that we see round about us today. Don't ever be swallowed up by these arguments and the lifestyle that's presented before us. Don't ever stop and ask very simple but probing questions. Where will this lead me to? Where is this coming from? What's the reality behind it? That's the kind of probing we've got to ask of the things that are so often vividly and powerfully presented before us. Lifestyles, attractive experiences, offerings, all of that. We've got to be prepared, like we've been told so often recent days. Consider what I'm saying. Think things through. And even when we think of Belshazzar as we do, we might say, well, I don't go to these extremes. I'm not like that man at all. I've got some kind of protection. What's said about him doesn't apply to me. It's not that way at all. You think of the different impacts in your life. You think of Christians that you've seen who have demonstrated a living faith like Daniel did to Belshazzar. You think of those Christians who have been prepared to stand up and to suffer in any way and in varying ways simply because of the faith they had in their God, Jehovah, and Jesus Christ, his Son. You think of the testimony of other Christians and what they've been through and the way they've been brought to a faith in Jesus Christ. These are the things that impacted the life of Belshazzar, and they've come to us also. And we've had privileges and we've had blessings, like we read from Jeremiah 25. God has been getting up early. The image is a very vivid one. I've got up early. I've sent my servants and I've done it day after day. The privileges we've had. The overtures of grace. The provisions for our soul. What have we done with them all? We cross a line. Enough is enough. There is a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that marks the destiny of man in glory or despair. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and his wrath. How long might I go on in sin? How long will God forbear? Where does hope end and where begin the confines of despair? The answer from the skies is sent. Ye who from God depart, while it is called today, repent and harden not your heart. So yes, the sacrilege that Belshazzar portrays and demonstrates for us all to see. So what happened next? We see then the suddenness of God's intervention to the sacrilege of Belshazzar's creating. Unrestrained godlessness is evident there. There is nothing going to spoil this party. God was silent in their estimation, so they lived as they liked. But suddenly it was all reversed. Verse 5 of chapter 5. In that same hour. That way we sometimes lose the full effect of that phrase. But what that really means is, at that very moment, suddenly, there was a stunned silence. In the twinkling of an eye, it was all over for Belshazzar. For days, for years, God was noting the thoughts, the words, the actions of this man. And now there was an account presented and had to be settled. So where now all the laughter and the thoughts? Where now all the contempt and the drinking? Where now all the companions that were with him? His face was drained. And he was reduced to a gibbering wreck. A man who had given orders, the most extreme of orders, tries to regain normality. And particularly we read it, but want to linger upon it. In the middle of verse 6 it says, and his thoughts troubled him. I wonder what that meant. His thoughts troubled him. Remember all the things that were crowding into his life before this? All the memories that he had? The things that were brought the moment he saw Daniel? And he heard and he saw the way this man Daniel lived and the testimony that was clear from Daniel that Jehovah God is the living and the true God. All of that was in this man's mind. He did a good job of smothering it for a moment to enjoy life as he did. But there came a time when all of these thoughts that had been sat on and locked away for so long just broke the locks and flooded his mind and troubled him. There is a truth. There's a reality indeed behind what Daniel was doing and living. There's a reality in the God that he follows and trusts in. There's a reality there that I don't have. And it's troubling me. So this man is confronted with the sudden intervention of God. And because of the way in which he's troubled, he makes a fantastic, he makes tremendous promises. He says, look, if anybody is able to interpret it, I'll make him third in command. There's my father, there's me, and anybody who does it, I'll make him third ruler in this kingdom. That's the promotion that I'll give. If you can just tell me what this means. But nobody could. Four words. Just four words that changed everything for that man. The suddenness of God's intervention then, and he does it still today. He meets people, he meets us, you and me, at our own level. Just the same way as he met Belshazzar at his level, addressing him where he was, speaking to him as he was. So God meets with us where we are and dresses us as we are. He confronts us It may only be one, two, three. It may only be four words that God speaks to us like he spoke to Belshazzar. But words that come with eternal power and spiritual application. And the way God breaks in and speaks to us about things that are urgent and important for our souls. Just four words. The sudden intervention of God to him, to us. Yes, the sacrilege of Belshazzar. Yes, the suddenness of God's intervention. Thirdly, let's think quickly about the standing that Daniel had. When this happened, there was a silence came on the party of 1,000. It takes a lot to make people quiet, but that's exactly what happened. A silence fell on the whole party. Nobody could understand what had happened. They were all astonished. But there was one voice. There was one voice that spoke up in verse 10. And that is the queen. It's the queen mother, really, of Belshazzar. She knew, because she was there also, she knew all the early years of Nebuchadnezzar. She knew all the other things of Belshazzar. She knew because she also saw them as he saw them. Belshazzar might have forgotten them for a moment, but she didn't. She knew at one time that Daniel was crucial, pivotal, helpful in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. She knew what Daniel once was in the nation and amongst the people. But now he had been sidelined because it made Belshazzar uncomfortable. He was once a central figure, but now he could be safely ignored. He had been once, we're told in chapter 2, at verse 48, he had been ruler over all the wise men in Babylon. Daniel was the believer that was a spur to the conscience of Belshazzar. Daniel was the thorn that constantly made him feel uncomfortable. Daniel was the one that just simply made his life a misery. Let's get rid of him. Put him to the side. Sideline him. Until, that is, an emergency arises. And then he was summoned. And the same can still happen with us today. People will spurn our company and spur our advice and spur our testimony. People will have nothing to do with us if we speak of Christian things. And we'll be left there day after day, year in, year out perhaps, just left on the sidelines. Until, that is, something happens with people today. And all of the talk, light and frothy, all of the bubbly things of this world suddenly just don't count or matter anymore. Suddenly more serious thoughts are wanted and looked for. And that's when they come looking for you and me. That's when they came looking for Daniel. Because he had words that were solemn, words that were important, words that needed to be said and spoken in this situation. That's why he was summoned. The standing of Daniel, oh yes, to begin with, he was at the center, pushed away. Perhaps at the center we were pushed away. Left there for how long, we don't know. But don't let it get to you. Don't let it interfere with what you're doing. Keep to the same path. Keep to the same ways. Let your eye be fixed not on the opinion of men, but on the approval of God. And as you carry on in that way, the testing time may come when people will send for you or ask for you because the situation is serious and requires spiritual solemnity and input. The standing of Daniel. And when he came, what does he do? But he just simply gives a summary of this man Nebuchadnezzar's experience. He was, Belshazzar was just on the cusp. He was on the very edge of falling over. He was only hours away from destruction. But he wanted a way of escape. He still believed that there was nothing to worry about. He had Daniel after all. He had Daniel now. He was going to give Daniel whatever he needed, whatever he wanted, up to the third ruler in the kingdom. His fears began to recede a little. But Daniel didn't allow him that comfort. Listen to what he says in verse 17. In the face of all of these promises that are set out on the table, the table is full with all the good things that Belshazzar had in store for Daniel. And Daniel looks at them and he says, let the gifts be to yourself. Keep them to yourself. Give your rewards to someone else. God's wisdom cannot be bought. You cannot bribe God to get a comfortable message. God's silence is not for sale. Judgment is coming. And your warnings are now too late. Your actions are too late. You've left it too long, and the inevitable is about to come. You haven't learned the lesson from the past. The summary, remember, that he gives of Nebuchadnezzar. Here was a man, pride got in the way. Here was a man who was full of a sense of his own importance. He went out one day on the balcony and he says, all this is mine. I've got it, I've gathered it, I've collected it. It's all mine. And the words hadn't come from his mouth before he was humbled and brought down, as the experience here is given to us. He was humbled until he learned, we're told. Until he learned that God was in heaven and was sovereign over all peoples. Belshazzar hadn't learned that lesson. Hadn't learned that God is the one who gives. God is the one who gives, and man is the one who receives, and we need to be thankful for all that he gives to us. Even here it speaks about the very breath being in the hand of God. The very end of verse 23. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and who are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. There's his card marked. God has been good to you and given you so much. What have you given back to God? Your very breath comes from God. Acts 17:28. The summary of life from the life of Nebuchadnezzar. But it wasn't picked up. And it wasn't listened to by Belshazzar. How many spiritual lessons do we have from people round about us? Maybe known not to anyone else in this gathering listening to us. But go back over the countless years. And you've got one particular figure perhaps comes vividly into your mind just now. That person was a Christian. Spoke of Christian things. That person's Christian experience you're acquaint with and you're familiar with, and it bears down on your life. A member of your family, a friend, whatever it is. And you learned of it and you heard of it then. but you've let it pass from you now. God has given. God has been so patient in his dealings with you and with me. That's what we've all got to say. What are we doing with all of that patience that we've received day after day? The privileges of gathering here, of hearing God's word. What have we done with it all? And so it comes to the writing on the wall. Yes, the summary of Nebuchadnezzar, and we come to the significant words that were written there. Here we have a has-been. Oh, somebody that was a has-been. He's an old man. He's Daniel, after all. He's been through the wars, and he can be safely disregarded now. But this has-been. This has-been takes control. For a long time he was marginalized and he was in the shadows of the court. But when the time comes, he's the man that speaks with authority. He is the one who explains what God is saying. You've been numbered, you've been weighed, you've been divided. That's what he's saying. Enough is enough. Mene, God has numbered your days. Remember what we're saying about a line? You're getting close to the line. It's not measured in years. It's not measured in days. Not measured in hours. It's measured down into minutes almost. Your days are numbered, and there's not many of them left. God is calling a halt to that sacrilegious life that you've been living for so long. How many opportunities he's had, we've had, and what have we done with them? Many, your days are numbered. Secondly, you're weighed in the balance. God has gathered your whole life together, everything you've done, and God has put it in the balance, and he's judged it, he's weighed it, he's assessed it. What's it like? What's its quality? Where's the spirituality? Is there anything there worth mentioning? Is there anything there worth salvaging? Is there anything there at all worth noting? God has done that with this man, and God does it with us also. All our words, all our thoughts, all our actions, the way we've behaved and reacted to holy things. So often, we think it's comfortable. Well, God's silent. God's not there. God's not listening. God's not acting. I'm listening to what the preacher is saying, but I'm not taking it on board, and I'm going my own way, and nothing's happening. Because God is silent, we think that God is indifferent. God gives patience to us on an immense scale. But then one day when it's abused and we get to the line, he'll weigh us. And it's not, there's nothing imperfect and there's nothing wrong and there's nothing out of balance in the way God assesses you or me. The days of trifling with God are over. And the reckoning has to come. And so there is this dividing taking place. You're going to be removed and you're going to be parted. And it's going to be given to the Medes and the Persians. We don't know. We don't know when it can be said of us, once more and it's your last. Because that's what happened to this man, Belshazzar. The swiftness of God's judgment is given to us there in verse 30. In that night, the king of the Chaldeans was slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom. We dare not play around with the destiny of our souls. There is nothing unjust in God's dealings with us. If we have a real cause to be afraid, then let us be afraid. And let it have an effect upon us to draw us to our God. But let us beware of presumption and defiance and provocation and the kind of lifestyle that we see rampant round about us and in the life of this man. God might be silent for a little while, but suddenly he acts, intervenes, and judges. And he does so in a way that nobody will mistake. Nobody will complain about, and nobody can excuse. The whole of his life rises up against him. He had privileges, immense privileges. But God called him to account, as he calls us also. He speaks to us individually, but he speaks also to the wider nation of which we are a part. How many laws have we broken? How many privileges have we abused? How much have we taken for granted as a nation? We keep, as a nation, pushing the envelope. Standards, norms, Christian standards that have been in place for years and generations. We prepare to dismantle them and to replace them with our own thinking. So many different areas. But it only goes so far. A line is drawn and we know not where it is. And we don't know how close we are to it. The psalmist tells us, give us wisdom, Lord, to number our days. Is that not what we need to do? Number our days to use them well. Because we don't know how many we've got. The opportunity is there with us now. Let us therefore use the opportunity. The door is open. The gospel is in our hearing and is before us in our hands. Let us hear what God is saying today. Don't turn our backs upon this gospel. Don't shut God out of our thinking and our living. But embrace him and what he says for our good and for our salvation. Sin that needs to be dealt with. Dealt with by Jesus Christ, his Son. We've heard it. We've heard it. We've heard it. What then are we doing with it? For Belshazzar, enough was enough. We still have the day of grace, and the door is still open for us. So let us use it. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, again, we bless thee for the way in which thou dost meet with us and speak to us. We bless thee, Lord, for the way in which thou dost draw us to hear thy word and this gospel once again. We bless thee, O Lord, for thy patience in the way in which thou dost come down beside us and address us where we are and our character, our experience. May we therefore hear thy voice, heed it, and obey it. By the work of thy Spirit, Lord, take away the darkness and the deadness and incline us, O Lord, to seek thee while thou yet mayest be found. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and glory. Amen. We closed this morning by singing from Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and at verse 14. O God of my salvation, God, me flaunt blood guiltiness set free. Then shall my tongue aloud sing of thy righteousness. My closed lips, O Lord, by thee let them be opened. Then shall thy praises by my mouth abroad be published. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it thee. Nor wilt thou with burnt offering at all delighted be. A broken spirit is to God a pleasing sacrifice. A broken and a contrite heart, Lord, thou wilt not despise. 51 at 14 through to 17. O God of my salvation, God. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest on and abide with you all. Amen.